In brightest day,
in blackest night.
And rest of what I do. What I do best isn't very nice.
The Comic Culture Radio Show. Chris Owen, Walter Duryle.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. Hear the lamentation of your women.
Hey, and welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU. Don't do that to me, Chris. CFMU McMaster Radio and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. Hey, and getpointradio.com.
Is that what it is still?
Yeah. Hey, did we print out that thing?
You were supposed to bring it. You were supposed to bring it.
Hey, and as always, what do I say after this? I am Walter Duryle,
and I am
Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's
Mohawk. Canada's Mohawk College.
Hey, easy there, 93.3.
Listen, when Slurpee Jones is in a groove,
you know what?
Don't get out of his way.
You know,
okay?
You're right. You know what? I sorry, Slurpee.
That's all right.
That's all I got to say.
That's all right. Hey, listen. This week, as always, we are joined by our
illustrious
producer, Shecky Feldstein.
Yes.
Shecky.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Up at you?
Pretty good. Just struggling through the intro.
Struggling through it. All right. And of course, we are also engineered by the young buck, Andrew Roebuck, over here to my right.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey.
Hey.
Yes.
All right.
There you
Andrew.
Go. All right, listen.
Of course, Andrew's making sure that you and I, Chris, are on the level.
He makes it
you know what I'm saying?
Makes,
we're on the level.
He makes sure that you and I sound good.
Right.
It's a tough job.
In that case, you should just turn Walt's mic off now.
Listen, lucky he doesn't work on TV, that's for sure.
Yeah, I got a face for radio.
Listen. Chris, as always, I think I've already said this, but I'll reiterate.
Yeah.
You and I get together with the boys here every week. We open a few Coca-Colas and we talk comics. And, you know, and this week is not going to be any exception.
Absolutely.
Cokes are open.
Our Cokes are open. And we're gonna get started talking about comics right away.
Right.
Now, listen, Walt, before we go on here, I have to compliment you on your wonderful sky blue sweater you're wearing. I'm almost amazed that when you go outside early in the morning, like, you know, if you stand against the sunrise, can you even see you?
No.
No. Yeah, you can, because you'll find different colored matter. I think there's a mustard stain on his shoulder, and then some sort of makeup. I don't know, like a rouge makeup on his elbow there. So.
That is true. Hey, you know, if it's rouge, that's all right. That means that, you know, his wife is getting a little amorous.
Maybe it's not his wife.
Lipstick on your sky blue sweater.
You know, you're looking good, Walt.
Thanks,
looking
Chris. Good. Good. Thanks, Chris.
Hey, you know what? As Guy Lafleur would say, 2 minutes for looking so good.
All right, 2 minutes for looking so good.
All right. Listen, we're going to get started to talk about, of course, we are here to talk about new comics. And, Shecky, do we have any sponsors for new comics this week?
Always, Chris. So, new this week brought to you by female superheroes, because who else still wears tight bikini costumes during winter?
God bless them. You know what?
I know.
Very true. Mm.
Rain
very
or shine, true. You know, hail, sleet, snow.
You know, you know what? I have to say, that sponsor, you know, the female superheroes as a sponsor, mm-hmm. brings up a great point. How come superheroes don't have, you know, seasonal clothing, right?
Well.
Like, shouldn't Superman have, maybe not Superman, let's say
like
Batman.
A parka?
Yeah, exactly, right? A parka. Or maybe he should, you know, go down to a skivvies in the heat, in the dead of heat, right?
Well,
no?
The problem here, Chris, is, I mean, listen, you're a connoisseur of the comics.
Of the comics, yes.
And you and I both know the winter cold season is nippling season.
It really is.
So
really
why ruin a good thing?
Yeah, you know what? You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
absolutely
exactly.
right. Yeah.
So that's why they don't have winter clothes.
Yes, you know, it's a great point.
Thank you.
All right. And that's why I still buy Ms. Marvel.
Yes.
All right, listen. Let's keep on going here. We are here to talk about comics and new this week. I have today with me Avengers Annual Number 1. Now, this particular issue caught my eye because I love the cover. It's a play on Santa Claus. It's got, instead of reindeer, it's got a couple of heroes with the Hulk in the very front as if he's a few reindeer.
Hulk has always been a staple on Christmas covers.
He really has. He really has. Yeah, he's always got a good Santa hat on.
Yep.
And in the place of Santa, we have, of course, Captain America. He's in the sleigh delivering presents and all kinds of stuff. Hold on a second here. And you know what? Well, just hold on. So the first couple pages, it's all Christmassy. They've got all the logos as Christmas ornaments.
Mm.
It's Captain America goes around. He's helping out people who are less fortunate. I'll call it
right.
That. And it's just a fun comic. It's got the Hulk. And of course, he gets mad because they lost his hotel reservation, and it's just I don't want to get too involved in it, but really, it's a fun Christmassy kind of holiday comic.
Yeah, because you know what? The funny thing is, you and I both grew up with all those Christmas specials.
You know what?
And
yeah.
Those are always great. Remember that? Remember? I think my favorite one is remember that the big treasury, the Christmas grab bag.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the big Marvel treasury.
Yeah, the big Marvel treasury. I love that.
You know what? That's one of the things that unfortunately they don't do enough of in the comic book industry. They don't do enough Christmas related comic books. I mean, even back when you and I were younger, there only seems to be a handful of them.
Mm.
Even though there was more then than there are now, there still wasn't that many.
Yeah,
right. But every once in a while, you'd see the holiday special come out from Marvel, and Marvel always seemed to be better at it than DC.
Yeah,
DC had the odd special, but really it was Marvel that really pushed the whole superhero-y kind of fun enjoyment of comics. And you know what? And this is my I've said this before, and I'll say it again.
Say it again.
DC has gone too dark in their comics.
Yeah.
Especially recently in the New 52, and Marvel keeps on chugging away with what they know best, and that's how to produce a great comic book that's fun for all ages, and they're continuing to do it with this Christmas issue.
You hear that, DC? You have to see the light.
Yeah, you got to see the light. You got to make comics fun again.
That's right. You got to make comics fun again. Make comics fun to read, and just to go off on a complete tangent.
Yep.
Bring back continuity.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
You know? Jumping around, starting and stopping.
You know what?
It's like I'm in rush hour traffic. You know
okay, you know what? I don't want to get too heavily into this.
Don't get too heavily into it, Chris.
Hold on. Okay. You scratched me a little bit here.
Right in the right spot.
Here. Yeah. And I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say that part of the problem is the writing, because it seems like they don't know how to write a comic that can tell a whole story in one issue and where you don't have to go out and buy the next issue. They don't make comics as fun as they used to. You have to make sure that comics, anybody can be able to pick up a comic nowadays and read the whole issue and get an idea of what's going on.
Chris, not just to go on a tangent off of your tangent, okay? Which I hate doing.
I know.
But, I mean, I don't know if we discussed this before or not, but Archie Comics... Help me say it.
You did say Archie, right?
Archie. Yeah.
Archie
Comics.
I thought maybe that was some sort of weird
kung fu comic.
Archie Comics.
Archie Comics, is, I believe, the only remaining comic book franchise that has numerical continuity.
Yeah, yeah.
So number 650 out. Yeah. It's the only one left.
Well, now,
There's nothing left.
And you know what? I'm going to talk today a little bit about some of that because there's a Daredevil comic coming out soon. And once again, they're restarting it at number one. Why can't they just continue it on?
Here's my point. Those numbering sequences don't matter anymore, apparently, because just the whole way the comics have been written, say, in the last, 20 years, 15 years, 12 years.
I'd say more like 10, but yeah.
10 is around the arc.
Yeah.
Around the creative team.
Well, yeah.
So really, why even have monthly numerical comics anymore?
Great point.
You know what I'm saying? Brian Azzarudo and his cousin Vinny.
I love Brian Azzarudo.
And his cousin Vinny are going to do a six issue arc, and then Joe Lieb and whoever the guy's name is,
Joe Lee,
Jim Sale.
Yep, Jim Sale and Joe Lee.
They're going to come in after. right?
Yeah.
Why call it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and then 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12?
Great point. Great point. And that's precisely why a bunch of different, like Hellboy, for example, from Dark Horse,
yeah,
doesn't have a regular comic system,
right,
comic
we've
numbering
talked
system
about this
because
before
they just figure that there's just little short story arcs, right? And maybe that's the way to go.
Well, we're bound by the tradition, the gravity of the past and the numerical numbering monthly thing,
yes,
is stuck to us.
Well, and
so unless they sign, they should sign. This is what they should do.
What should they do?
You want me to tell you?
Yeah, well, tell me what they're going to do.
I'm going to tell you what they're
going to
do.
Okay, tell me.
That's what I'm going to do.
I want to hear what they should do.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
You got Jolie there.
Jolie, yeah.
And
Jolie. Jolie.
Jolie.
Jolie. Listen. Oh, sorry.
And Sale Guy. You got those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, hey.
Hey.
We'll sign up.
Yep.
We'll do 30 issues
yeah
for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So 1 to 30.
Yep.
That creative team. And when they stop, that title stops.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Because that seems to be the way it's going.
Well, absolutely. And you know what? There's no continuity anyways.
Yeah.
So what's the point?
I mean, exactly, now, you know, Chris, what's the point?
Now, hold on. We're going to tick off some people saying that, you know, we're saying that
impossible
there's no continuity. No, it is possible.
Okay.
However, you know what? I'm going to say that continuity doesn't mean anything. Yes, there is continuity,
sure,
but it doesn't
mean
anything.
Exactly right. It doesn't
so
mean
so there's no difference, really, is what we're saying. So,
same difference.
Right, exactly. So,
okay. So what happens is this.
Yes.
This is what happens.
What happens?
You have, and again, we've discussed this before, but it just seems to be coming to a head right now.
Okay.
And you have this great thing called a comic book property.
Okay, yeah.
So let's say Captain America.
Perfect.
Or yep. Daredevil, or heaven forbid, Batman, the King of Kings.
Okay, yeah.
Okay? And so you have this indestructible, impenetrable, will weather the worst kind of crap thrown
at absolutely
him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
This character can survive anything, including
yeah
bad writing.
Yeah.
Bad art,
yep,
bad ideas,
yep,
okay? So what happens is you and I, Chris, the Chris and Walt team,
yep,
we go, hey, let's pitch this project to Marvel.
Right.
Because they have Batman. Hold on. Let's make it DC, okay?
Okay, don't pitch it to Marvel. Don't pitch a Batman comic to Marvel.
To DC.
Yeah.
And then we go in, a whomping and a whooping.
A whomping and a whooping, yeah.
And thinking we're going to change the world.
As we will.
And write Batman some stupid ass way that totally
nobody's
ruins
ever thought of before.
Nobody's ever thought of yep before.
Yep.
You know? And
he's going to have kids.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when we move on, people are just supposed to forget.
Yeah.
And then accept the next thing.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Oh, that's frustrating.
But you know what? That, you have just nailed the entire entertainment.
I have nailed it, Chris.
Entire entertainment industry in a nutshell.
Yeah.
You're only as good as right now,
mm-hmm,
right?
What
have you done for me lately?
For me lately.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And unfortunately for readers, that's not always a good thing.
The worst part about it is, well, I'm slurping this thing back.
Okay, you go ahead and keep on slurping while I talk.
The worst part about this thing is, not every character is Batman.
No.
Not every character can survive crap.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? That's
you're
the
right
worst part about it.
You're right.
So you take Ghost Rider.
Yep.
Is that
yep
how you say it?
Ghost Rider, yeah.
Ghost Rider.
Yeah, good enough.
And you throw a couple of crap sequences in him,
oh,
and
done
all of a sudden he's done.
He's done.
Nobody cares about him
he's
anymore.
He's done. But you know what? The exact opposite happens, where you get a movie about some Rocket Raccoon coming out soon,
uh-huh,
and Guardians of the Galaxy
yeah
coming out, and all of a sudden people seem to care about a talking raccoon
for how long?
And a talking tree
for how long?
Well, exactly, right? You know,
yeah.
I mean, this is people are fickle. They want what's good for them right now, and who cares about what's going to happen a week from now?
Because
you know what? Last thing I'm going to say about that is great point there with the talking about the crap. Because let's not forget that Captain America at one point became a werewolf.
Ow!
Ow! Wolf cap.
Wow.
Wolf cap. That's all I got to say. Mm. Listen, Let's keep on talking about new this week. That's where
we're. Oh, is that what we're talking about?
Is that where we're on? All I'm right. sorry.
What did we get through one book?
I don't know. All right, listen. Shaky, one book so far.
Shaky, can you do the color on this one? Because I seem to have gone off on a tangent.
All right, listen. We got. I had to point this out. So we got Fearless Defenders number 12 here. And so Fearless Defenders, which is like Valkyrie, right? And, you know, all these great characters and all, it's like all these kind of kick-ass kind of female characters.
Kick-ass is in it?
And no, but the problem I have is that the cover looks like it's some romance novel.
What
who
is up with that?
cares about it?
It's ending.
Holy I know, but who cares? I know it's an ending.
Gazongas.
But like... I know what the book
they're
is ending,
wrong.
But it's meant to be like this, like, oh,
a little oversized,
very soft, you know, oh, it's I'm so sorry, the book's ending, you know. Uh-huh. You know what? Go out with a bang. Don't go out with this meandering little,
yeah.
I'm so sorry, romantic kind of bullcrap, right?
Yeah.
I don't like it, and I give it a zero.
A zero?
what's your scale out of?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It gets zero.
It gets zero.
Okay, all right.
Nothing.
Listen, we're going to keep on going here.
Hold on. That was Fearless Defenders number 12.
Don't buy it.
Don't buy it at your local comic book shop today. Go in, scoff at this book.
Scoff at it.
And buy,
and
the
then
one
buy
next
something
to
good.
It. Right.
Something good like DC Universe versus Masters of the Universe. Come on now. Here we go. Now, well, I know you're a little too old to have watched He-Man and all that kind of Masters of the Universe and all that.
Yeah.
However, there was a generation who was around my age, perhaps a little bit younger. Who loved He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, right?
Right.
It was a fantastic toy. And
is he the one that the real American hero, He-Man?
That would be G.I. Joe. We'll get to that later.
They're blending together.
He-Man, real American hero.
Same generation,
He-Man
pretty much.
He-Man is there.
Yeah, no, this is He-Man, Master of the Universe. And this is a...
Bended together from across the galaxy. That one?
No, that would be... Super Friends.
Super Friends. Okay.
Listen, this
catch
is
it on here.
DC Universe versus Masters of the Universe. It's got He-Man and Man-at-Arms and Teela and Skeletor all versus Superman and Batman and all your favorite DC characters.
I know
characters.
Who my money's on.
Look at that. Right in the front cover, we've got Teela versus Wonder Woman. Now, if that doesn't scream cat fight, I don't know what does.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And the Vegas bookmakers, I think, have the over-under.
On Wonder Woman.
On Wonder Woman.
Absolutely.
Does that mean she's over or she's under?
I like to think, you know what? Either way, I'm okay
You're
with that.
Okay with that. Right on. Good for you. Hey, listen, that is DC and, help me say this thing here. What is it?
Masters of the Universe.
That's available at
DC Universe versus Masters. And it's by Keith Giffen. Keith Giffen's a great writer.
Great writer.
He does a lot of great stuff. He wrote a lot of Justice League of America and Justice League Europe and all that kind of stuff. Great. And he's been doing a lot of the Masters of the Universe comics lately. And he's clearly a fan of the franchises of both the Masters of the Universe and the DC Universe. So he knows what he's doing.
Right on. All right, and that's available at your local comic book shop today.
Yes. Now,
Shaky,
listen.
Today.
Now.
Today.
Next issue I got to talk about here is now a while ago, Painkiller Jane came out by Jimmy Palmiotti, and it's coming out again through the Icon imprint, which I believe is a subsidiary of Marvel. It's sort of a independent owned. So when you get a book published by Icon, it's one of those creator-owned rights things. Like, they get to maintain all the rights. And all
like
the,
Image.
Yeah, kind of like Image, but this is actually being published through Marvel, so they have this
this
sort of sub-publisher called Icon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the cover is by Amanda Connor, which is it's an amazing cover. Like it's just a great-looking cover. Now, Painkiller Jane, I got to tell you, this particular issue... I'm not a huge fan of the comic. I'm not a huge fan.
Okay.
However, this particular issue has an entire issue, well, I shouldn't say half the issue, where the main draw of the comic, Jane, she happens to go to the bathroom, and she ends up getting into a fight while she's sitting on the toilet.
Nice.
So half the issue is her in this giant fight with her pants down. And half of it, they're just very... coyly trying to make sure that the certain parts aren't
none
exposed.
None of the good stuff.
Yeah, it's not exposed, right?
One out.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God. That is, wow, all right.
That is quality entertainment. Yeah, right
that
there.
Is pain in the ass, Jane, number two.
Are you allowed to say that? You probably just did, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, I read it wrong. Painkiller Jane.
Painkiller Jane.
Number two, sorry. That's available at your local comic book shop today.
It is, as a matter of fact. All right.
Here I sit, brokenhearted.
Beans, the musical fruit. Anyways, let's... last issue I got to talk about here today is, and this is... We're sort of going on a tangent here.
Nah!
Wonderland number 18 by Xenoscope. Now, Wonderland, this is Grimm Fairy Tales, and Xenoscope is very well known for their, I'll call it cheesecake kind of covers.
TNA covers. TNA.
And this one...
Cheesecake is like
this
guys,
one, yeah,
right?
This, yeah, oh, yeah. That's
TNA is girls.
TNA is girls, and there's a lot of TNA in this, and there's some, Alice from Alice in Wonderland is here because there's a giant Cheshire cat. And there's cleavage a popping everywhere.
These cleavages are made for popping. Wow. Grimm Fairy Tales Wonderland number 18 is available at your local comic book shop today.
All right. Well, listen, let's have a quick musical interlude here. Oh, sorry. Shecky, you got a book to talk about.
Oh,
every
right.
time you're trying to push me aside.
I'm
stealing my thunder.
I forget about you. That's all. You're kind of forgettable sometimes.
That's what they tell me.
Girls
usually.
Kind of forgettable. That's what you are.
All right, hey, listen up. So, we're going to be talking about The Amazing Spider-Man. He's back, kind of, not really. 700.1.
Okay. Now, this is 700.1. That's the issue number.
Yeah, apparently.
All right.
Wait a minute. Spider-Man Amazing ended at number 700 over a year ago.
Apparently not. Apparently, it's continued on to 700.1.
Wow.
Now, what's the deal with this one?
Well, the deal is, I think, all about just selling more comics, and because of the fact that people might be getting fed up with Doc Ock as Spider-Man, they're probably trying just to continue Spider-Man, but doing it in a very cheeky manner.
I can see that happening.
Yeah, this is what's happening right here.
And really, if anyone's going to do it, it's Marvel, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, weren't they doing like 3 issues a month for a while or something like that? Of
I think
Amazing?
45.
45 issues a month? Yeah, that sounds about right.
So, Shecky, do you think, perhaps, per se, that Marvel is... throwing Peter Parker back to see the response?
Maybe. You know, it's like it's testing testing the water, right? You know, they've got their two lines in. They're seeing what gets more of a buzz. But, I mean, even if there's a lot of feedback that's negative on Doc Ock, it means at least a lot of people are still reading it and hoping that it will eventually make a turn or a twist. It's just how long can you keep those people sitting on edge, reading it, waiting to find out?
So speaking of continuity,
yes,
shouldn't they scheme up a great natural segue back from Doc Ock to Spider-Man?
Absolutely.
Within the title going.
Yes.
Or should they wuss out and throw in something like this just to see what the public thinks?
I can't imagine the public is going to want to have Doc Ock continue to be Spider-Man. So this is a cash grab. Because people are getting tired of Doc Ock being Spider-Man, so they're going to throw that out because they can't think of anything better to do. Mm-hmm. So let's throw this out, and eventually they're going to come back with Spider-Man, with Peter Parker as Spider-Man.
Yeah, and it comes down to, again, you know, those numbers, those milestone numbers again. You know, by 800, you know, if they add up all these superior issues, you know, they cross their numbers because it's essentially still Spider-Man, and then they revert back, and then, you know, they don't want Doc Ock still probably playing Spider-Man by, you know, 800, right. Maybe not even 750, who knows, right? Yeah. So, you know, maybe they'll revert back by that time just to save that number.
Wow. I wonder how many issues of Spider-Man have actually been printed.
Wow, I don't know.
Like, not just Amazing, but I mean, like, in like overall. Like,
right.
Web of Spectacular, Amazing, Spider-Man, whatever it happens to be, yeah. I wonder, like, what? It's got to be in the thousands, right?
Yeah,
I would say, like, 3,000?
Yeah, 2,500 for sure.
Yeah. All right.
Well, maybe not that. Maybe 2,000. Yeah.
Really? Is that all? Think about all the different miniseries and all that stuff.
Fair enough.
All right, listen.
So here's the dilemma, though, boys.
Okay, what's the dilemma?
Here's the problem.
Here's the thing. You know, we're here, the four of us, get together every week to throw pennies into this Coke and to talk comics.
Yes.
And we're here to support the local comic book shop. But, you know, can we really say to the people listening, hey, run in and buy this Spider-Man when we know it's wrong? We want people to run into the local comic book shops and buy comics.
Yes.
But we want them to vote with, you know, their dollar on things that are doing, that the companies are doing right, and not some cockamamie, silly thing.
You're right.
But in this case, you may be even telling them you're voting for Peter Parker to be Spider-Man.
Yeah, I guess the way they got it like that. Yeah.
You know what? You're both right, because I agree with you. You shouldn't be. I don't think we promote comics for the sake of promoting comics. We promote good comics.
Yes.
And yes, you're right. You're right, Shecky. That I think people would. This is a way of saying, hey, look, if you want to promote Peter Parker as Spider-Man, this is a way to do it. And this is precisely why I was talking about the earlier comic that I was talking about that I didn't like very much, right? And I said, hey, this is no good. You know, what's the point?
You're no good.
Anyways, you know what? We need a musical interlude.
Yeah.
You're no good.
Such deep depth.
Way too deep
topic.
Today. Yeah. Way too deep. And of course, Walt, because you're here and because we love you, we have to have a little bit of the old Krantz Spider-Man. So this one's called The Library of Gorth.
Yes. You know that Hammond organ there in the background?
Do you like that?
Oh!
Do you like that?
Tell me.
You know what? It's no Shirley Scott, but it'll do.
Who?
Shirley Scott. She's famous organist back in the day.
All right. Well, that might have been old Shirley on there.
You never know.
Anyway, yeah, it was good. Good stuff. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Listen, we're going to go into. Do we have Young Shecky?
Hey,
do we have any mailbag this week or no?
Mailbag this week. I believe it. You know what? Let's get through. I like doing them halfway through the industry news.
Okay, well, let's
breaking it up, breaking pace.
Okay, let's go. Let's do industry news then. Do we have a sponsor for industry news?
We do.
Perfect.
Industry news brought to you by Xbox One, a system to kill for, literally, apparently.
Oh,
of course.
Ooh.
This is actually referring to. No such thing as bad publicity. Apparently, there was a woman somewhere in the States there. Who stabbed two people in a Walmart the last Xbox One.
That's crazy.
And Walmart actually sent out a statement and said, you know what, we expect so many people, about 5,000 people to die in Walmarts during the holiday season this year.
What? Oh, no.
They said something like that.
It can't be 5,000.
That's what they anticipate.
Maybe 5.
No.
5,000 people to die.
I don't know. That's, you know what?
A lot of people at Walmart have heart attacks.
Wow.
From the savings or from the McDonald's that are in there?
Yeah. Maybe a little bit of both. Half of them aren't really heart attacks. They're just a piece of Polish sausage that gets stuck in the windpipe. But the other half.
That does happen.
But yeah, no, I kid you not. It's and this happened on, I think this was the Thursday. So this was like the Black Friday, but it was, I don't know if it was a midnight Thursday sort of thing, or if they actually opened up their Black Friday a day early or what they did. But yeah, so that's tragic, you know. Wow. And Black Friday always brings out the worst in the shopping communities.
That's not right.
Great to have a downer for a sponsor. But hey, thanks.
But that was also pop culture news. That was the first news segment.
That is true.
Yeah, so there you go.
Listen, we Black Friday is an interesting time. You know, unfortunately, there have been many deaths occurred during Black Friday. I think mm-hmm. there's actually a website that has the death count for Black Friday. I think it's up to about 13 now.
Wow.
Since its inception of Black Friday being called Black Friday.
Yeah.
You know, and certainly there's been all kinds of injuries. I was talking to somebody over the weekend. They had gone to the States in Pennsylvania to do some shopping.
Grove City. Yeah.
And they were saying how they saw people get into fistfights over over headphones and stuff like that, right?
Yep.
And I don't get it. I don't get it.
There was an 88-year-old woman with a toothbrush holder that she was beating some other two other individuals away with. I don't know what with, maybe her purse or something. She was just smacking them. And she actually got asked, you know, what was this all about? She's like, I don't even need the thing, but it's over 35% off, and I'm not dumb enough to pass up a good deal.
Yeah,
well, there you go.
So I gave it my Beth Ruth Buzzy.
God bless America. All right.
Anyway.
Listen. On to greener pastures here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't say to all that.
Yeah, I don't either.
I believe I'm gotten into a little depression.
I want to ignore it right now.
Move forward.
Yeah. Bill Watterson.
Bill Watterson.
You know who he is.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Calvin and Hobbes.
Calvin and Hobbes creator. Now, there's a lot of talk about Calvin and Hobbes, and you know, despite the fact that it hasn't actually had a new comic strip produced in almost 20 years, people are still talking about it. Oh. It's still a fantastic cartoon
strip.
Bill
Watterson is like Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it keeps going.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's going to be a new, they call it a biopic, kind of like a documentary about a particular person. There's going to be a biopic about Calvin Hobbes creator Bill Watterson, and the film is going to actually be produced by Leonardo DiCaprio. So this is going to focus on
a Bill Watterson fan, probably.
Probably,
yeah.
It's going to focus on Watterson's early career, his struggles with popularity, and you know, him going into licensing battles and all the kind of things that's happening.
Because that is exciting stuff.
Well, you know what's funny is that I remember I'm a Bill Watterson fan, and I've read some things about him, and I remember reading that. So there's no merchandise with Calvin and Hobbes.
Yes.
It's just the books.
Because he doesn't want it.
Mm-hmm. And he said that with a mere signature, millions of dollars could have been earned by him and by, of course, all the conglomerates.
Yes.
And he would have been, you know, so much more well off than he is now.
Is he a purist? Is he an artist? Is he one of those guys?
He's one of those guys.
He doesn't want to sell out.
He feels that his creations were meant to be for art. It's not meant to be for, like, you know, plush dolls and T-shirts and action figures.
Yes and no.
I don't know. I don't mind the fact that he's sticking to his guns here.
Let me
put it to you this way. It's great for Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah.
But you know, The Far Side and Gary Larson did the same thing.
Uh-huh.
How many Gary Larson caricatures and dolls and T-shirts would you want to see out there?
Well, it's different. Gary Larson is a different animal.
But he did the same thing.
No, I know, but see, hold on. Gary Larson is a different animal because Gary Larson, in his, let's just say 10 years, I don't know how long he had The Far Side going, in his 10 years, in his 3,000 strips, had probably 2,000 different characters.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whereas Calvin and Hobbes, we got the tiger, we got the kid,
right?
And that's what we got, right? So we fell in love with the characters. We admired them, we read them, we went through their ups and their downs, and
there are still a few of the recognizable characters in The Far Side that people would have.
The duck or the goose,
the cow.
The cow, yeah.
Everybody loves the
car.
He loved drawing cows.
No,
He always had that character like Billy, like the famous,
the little scientist kid, or whatever, the nerd,
you know, with the brush cut kind of haircut.
Yeah.
You know, who wouldn't want to have like a
Billy T-shirt?
A Billy T-shirt,
right?
You know, he could have made the same kind of deals, maybe not as lucrative, obviously, with as Calvin and Hobbes. Mm-hmm. But he could have made the same kind of deals, and he stuck to his guns as well, and he decided, you know what? The only thing you're going to find his work on is the actual work themselves and the occasional greeting card.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, you're right. Hey, listen, you got a point. These guys are like the Lou Reeds of
And here's a guy. Here's a cartooning. Guy. Bill Watterson. He had a chance to make millions of dollars,
yep.
And he said, you know what? This wasn't what it was meant to be for. Mm-hmm. It was meant to be for art, I think by making all its merchandise,
yeah.
You want to take away from the mystique of the actual artwork, right?
I don't know.
Do you think... let me put it to you this way. Do you think
put
that...
Put it to me.
I love putting it to you. Do you think that people would still be as crazy about Calvin and Hobbes if we had been inundated with a bunch of crap merchandise? Do you think there would still be that... allure of Calvin and Hobbes?
I'm just saying...
It's not still going.
Yes. I'm saying that he could have been the master of his own domain and picked.
I think he still is.
Well, obviously he is, but as fans,
yeah.
I would love a Calvin and Hobbes t-shirt.
Okay.
What I'm saying.
But
I would love a Calvin and Hobbes toothbrush, Calvin and Hobbes pajamas... and a Calvin and Hobbes frisbee. These are things I would
frisbee.
Love. Yeah.
Frisbee. All right.
And one of those little wallets. Not any kind of wallet. You know the kind that you had to squeeze to get open?
The coin wallets?
They'll love those things.
What about like when you just got, you're in a bad string of luck and you just could never get it on the right end?
And it goes
on
the right side and it goes on the
left
side.
And you're doing it 10 times?
Oh.
And
you have to like wedge a pen through it to just get it going?
Yeah.
That's what I want, a Calvin and Hobbes version of that.
You want a Calvin and Hobbes coin purse?
Well, not any coin purse, the one, you know.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
All right, you know what?
Anyways. But you are right in a way, because you know what the worst cartoon on kids' TV is?
What's that?
Garfield.
Oh, absolutely.
They don't match the voice rights to the character.
No,
it is just slow and terrible. My kids are right in the zone. They're right in the pocket. They're now like 12,
right,
14.
Right,
the last 5 years was prime time.
Yep.
And that was like the plague of Garfield. That was crap.
Okay,
I mean, they're watching all kinds of crap. That's crap. But to them, that's crap.
That's crap. Yeah. And you know, to an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old, if something's crap, it's really crap.
It's really crap.
They will suck up anything.
Yeah, they're in the zone. They know what's going on.
Now, listen, you know, I was at the auto shop today getting my snow tires put on, and I was reading the paper, and for the first
time
in a
long talk there, Shecky.
And for,
he's getting his snow tires put on.
Good
for you, Owen.
Hey, you know, it's about time, eh?
Yeah.
Listen, I was reading the newspaper, and I happened to go through the comic section, which I hadn't done in a while, and Sherman's Lagoon.
I love it.
Still a great... You're laughing over there. It's a great cartoon. It's a great comic strip.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, Drabble... I think it's had its day.
Dilbert's still good.
Yeah,
I love that the Hamilton kid does Cornered.
Oh, the Corner's good, too. But you know what's also good? And he's a good Canadian boy. There is Pooch Cafe.
I'm not a big Pooch Cafe fan.
You know,
okay.
I like it.
It
took me a while to get going on it.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know what I actually enjoy now? Now that they've rebooted it, is Adam.
Yeah, now it's getting better.
It's better.
It's getting better. Yeah. Pickles is still up there for me.
Yeah,
but you know what? Like, hey, we're saying great cartoons.
Yes.
And but none of them have replicated the magic of...
Not even remotely.
...of Calvin and Hobbes.
Not even a little.
Yeah,
not even
right.
a little. Listen. All right. You know, and speaking of comics and publishers,
mm-hmm.
And this was said many years ago, and I remember back in the day when I was working for comic book stores 20, 25 years ago.
Back in the day.
I'm an old man. And they're sort of just coming out and actually admitting it now, where they're saying that comic book publishers are actually just really research and development for Hollywood.
Yeah.
And you know what? this is nothing new.
No.
This is something that 20, 25 years ago, Warner Brothers used to say kind of under the table.
Uh-huh.
They used to, you know, when we'd go to meetings and for DC and go to meet the publishers and stuff like that, and they would actually say, you know, like, ah, you know what, this is all the reason why Warner Brothers is keeping DC around because uh-huh. is basically just for research and development for, yeah, for movie ideas.
Yeah. Batman.
But now they're sort of coming out and admitting it, right? No. They're coming out and actually saying that, you know, hey, you know what? All the good ideas are coming from comic books these days. And you and I have been spouting that for years now.
Our show's been on now. This is our 17th year.
17th, yes.
And we've been spouting that for at least the last 14.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, you know what? I mean, what's a storyboard? A graphic novel, you know?
Absolutely,
you can't, and we've discussed this before too, you can't, I love a good book.
Oh yeah, me too.
Oh, I love a good book, Chris, but you can't take a good book that it's taking you, I'm just going to estimate, 25 hours to read.
Yes.
And condense it into a 2-hour
movie.
You can't do it. You can't, it doesn't come out to be the same.
No. No,
you know, it just doesn't.
And even the most successful of books, books to TV or books to movies.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to use a more recent movie, Catching Fire from the Hunger Games trilogy.
Uh-huh.
My wife is a huge fan of it, and she said that, you know what, as far as books to movies go, they did a really good job.
Right.
Like, you know, it's not perfect, of course. No, none of them are perfect, but they did a really good job. But certainly, it's never going to be 100%, right? It's never going to take the place of a good book.
Mm-mm. But you can, in a way, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong.
I will.
Sin City.
Yes.
They basically went from panel to panel, and they filled in with motion
between the
panels.
Yeah, they basically...
You couldn't complain, because what you got in the graphic novel, you got in the movie.
Exactly the same, panel for panel. You know, you watch the movie, and it's like you're reading the book.
Every single frozen frame, almost, I'm not going to say every single, but close to every single frozen frame in that graphic novel, if you froze framed the movie, you'd be able to find that panel.
That's right.
Most of
them.
That's
right.
So
absolutely.
That's how
cinematic.
Cinematic.
Yeah.
These things can be.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
And as you and I know, it's the idea and the premise and the delivery of that idea and premise that matters.
Yeah.
The storytelling.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Listen, so you know what? It's just interesting how these guys are actually finally coming out and saying this, that, you know, they're actually, hey, you know what? We're using comic books as our go-to.
And, hello!
And we've known that for years. Listen.
The problem is, you and I, Chris, we're not consultants.
I know. We really should be. We really should be. You know what? You know what we really need to do right now? Let's have a quick musical interlude here, and then we'll get right back to it in a second. You were a fan of Star Trek, weren't you, there, Walter?
Of course.
Well,
yes,
I think Chewbacca's my favorite. You're gonna find this next song highly illogical.
Oh.
From far beyond the galaxies, I've journeyed to this place to study the behavior patterns of the human race, and I find them highly illogical. Girl meets boy. They fall in love. She says he's everything she's dreamed of. But when they get married, before he's aware, she changes his habits, the way he combs his hair. She changes him to someone he's never been, and then complains he's not like other men. Now really, I find this most illogical. Take the case of your automobiles. Greatest invention since man discovered wheels. Hydromatic overdrive, four on the floor. Push-button windows, push-button doors. Double-barrel carburetors rush you any place, but you never can find a parking space. Highly illogical. Take the case of modern man. He works all his life, gives it all he can. Saves all his money, works overtime, pinches every penny,
banks every dime. All he can think about is money, but you know that he can't take it with him where he's going to go. Now I find that fascinatingly illogical. Now is the time to journey home.
Chris, that song was highly
illogical.
Illogical.
Did you like that?
But very enjoyable.
Yeah, yeah. All right, listen.
That, of course, is Spocky Spock.
Spocky Spock, Mr. Leonard Nimoy himself.
Mr. Leonard Nimoy himself.
Yeah. Well Spocky, done. Spocky Spock and the Spocks.
Spocky Spock and the Enterprise crew.
Yes. All right, listen.
Yo, it's my crew.
Yo, speaking of yo.
Yo.
Yo Joe. Yo G.I. Joe hits issue 200. 200 issues.
No. Hold on.
Hold on.
Don't sell it to me like that.
Okay, you're right. You're right. It's not 200.
Yeah.
Because, in fact... it was.
You have to add and then
it was
carry over the one.
It was originally published by Marvel.
Yes.
And then Marvel gave it up, and IDW picked it up, and they kind of picked up where Marvel left off.
They did. It's usually when people do pick stuff up where the others left off.
You know, why you got to be like that?
I'm just saying.
Okay.
All right.
Anyways, so IDW picked up where Marvel left off, and in combining both IDW and Marvel's issues, they're at issue number 200.
Chris, you think they can get into the Hall of Fame that way? Like, let's say you played half your career in the Japanese League.
Yeah.
And then half your career in the major leagues.
Yeah.
And then you added up your home runs.
Nah, wouldn't count. No.
Okay,
no.
So.
Never got a dinner.
Yeah, so we really count.
Count
this, then, can we?
Well, count. Well, yes and no. And then I'll tell you why yes and no.
Okay.
Yes, first of all, no, because you're right, because yeah. It's the same. It's not the same publisher. However, it's the same writer. Larry Hama.
Hamana.
Larry Hama, who is basically, he is like the guru to G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know you're not a G.I. Joe fan.
Certainly not.
Okay, well, okay. When you bought the toys, there would be like a little write-up of each character on the back, right? So let's say you bought Duke. So Duke would have a little biography of who he was.
Right.
Larry Hama wrote those.
Okay.
For all the every character.
Oh.
And then he wrote most of the Marvel comics. And he's still writing G.I. Joe today.
Wow.
So that's why I'm going to say...
This tells me two things about Larry Hamana.
What's that?
Is, one, he really loves the G.I. Joes.
Okay.
Two, I'm worried about his career options. He doesn't seem to be ambitious and go out there and make something else. And
right.
Three, this is really good for G.I. Joe fans.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And okay, so here's the thing. So
here's the thing.
Newsarama, it's a great website. He went off, and they went off, and they decided to interview the guy. And I don't want to get into too much of it, but basically they said, Larry, you know, after 31 years of doing G.I. Joe, what keeps you going? Like, how do you keep doing
it? Paycheck.
And here's his response. The main reason is that somebody keeps asking me to do it. You know what? And he says, he makes it up as I go along, but since he based most of the characters on people he knows, it's not that hard to fall back into it.
Right.
And he said, you know what? It's a great gig, right? He likes doing it, and it's easy
for him. Do it, Hamana.
Listen.
Do it.
Now, you own a store.
Sure do.
Right? People come in every week to buy their comics.
So. Yep.
Right? How would you feel about perhaps investing in drones that can deliver the comics to your customers?
Drones. That can deliver the comics.
These aren't the drones you're looking for.
Exactly.
Oh.
So,
do tell.
Basically, Amazon is testing delivery of their books by drones. So basically they're going to set up this, like, it's called the Octodrone or something like
Octodrone.
That. It's got like eight little propellers.
Uh-huh.
And it goes out and it's going to pick up your parcel and fly it directly to you almost immediately. Like, I'm talking within like a day or like hours kind of thing.
So get out.
Yeah. So here we go. Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos revealed a new project on 60 Minutes the other night, saying delivery by drone. The Prime Air service would be for packages up to around 5 pounds, and would be effective around within 10 miles of a distribution center. So basically, if you live near the distribution center, you could have your package delivered by a robot.
Wow,
is what it comes down to.
So wow, so look at Chris.
Yeah,
this is a great idea because 10 miles is roughly 16 kilometers.
Okay.
which is a
that's pretty far.
Yeah, which is a diameter of 32 kilometers.
Right.
So 16 kilometer radius around your comic shop is roughly the comic shop's, local comic shop's domain.
Mm-hmm.
So we can go out, what you're saying is, we can go out and buy a drone.
Yep.
And deliver to customers.
That's right. That's right.
That is amazing. That is incredible.
And this is especially good for the customers that maybe are a little bit shy and they don't want to go into the comic book store. Uh-huh. Hey, you know what? I really like comics, but I'm a little scared that people are going to see me there because I'm a little bit insecure.
Chris, here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
When I was a kid.
Yeah.
Up in the neighborhood, down in the neighborhood, down the city, down the hood.
Yeah, because you were in the hood. That's right.
Yeah. We were maybe 10, 11.
Okay.
Do you remember St. Hubert's Chicken Delivery?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was
had
a
big chicken on
the
top of it.
Yeah, it had a little chicken on the top of the car.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? At wintertime, that was 10 points.
What?
You put a snowball through the chicken on top of the car, and you were king of the playground at school. You were a god. You were somebody that took out the chicken on the St. Hubert's car.
So,
do you know where I'm going with this, don't you?
Okay? I hear what you're saying.
So here's a drone coming at you that's delivering comic books.
So, well, here's the thing.
Yeah,
here's
exactly.
The thing. So what would happen if a snowball hit this thing? Like, if
it would shoot lasers at the kid that threw the snowball.
Let's say a snowball hits it.
Death count for the drones is now 872.
Let's say the snowball hits it, and then it gets knocked down, drops the package.
Uh-huh.
So who's responsible for that?
I don't know.
I think what would have to happen is, well, you know what? Drones could probably also have like little tiny cameras, you know? So obviously everything's filmed, it seems, these days anyway. Have a little camera, something like that, you know, info would be collected. And because it's Amazon doing it, okay, you know, for the one mom-pop, you know, corner shop, comic book store, kind of out of luck. But once Amazon, if they step up and do this, I'm sure they're just the first in the trend of different massive online retailers who start doing the same thing. And the government will probably have to put into place some sort of laws that say that it becomes illegal. This is what you're going to get as your comeuppance if you destroy these while they're delivering something. Because otherwise they will be getting picked off.
Yeah.
And, or you could just jump up and grab them maybe or whatever. And then, hey, you've got a free gift.
Free drone.
Free drone.
Merry Christmas.
Well, I was thinking about the comic books, but sure.
Well, okay, so...
See, this is why. This is why drones will never work.
Why is that?
This is why I'm going to come up with a new scheme.
What's okay, what is your new scheme?
Pigeons.
Ooh, I like that. So carrier pigeons will deliver your comics.
Pigeons that will deliver our comics.
All right.
What you have to do is you have to get one. You have to tie the comic to your feet.
You know, you have to get a lot of pigeons. Like, what if I buy one of every Marvel? You know,
you
like tie eight of them together.
Yeah, because those pigeons, they can avoid things.
That is
drones
true.
Drones are stupid pigeons.
Yeah, you know what? It's making me think of Monty Python with the coconut bit and Monty Python and the Holy Grail. It's like a 3 ounce bird cannot carry a 1 pound coconut.
That's right.
It's like, what if two birds carried it together? No, they'd have to tie a line or something.
Listen, it's in its infancy stages, but I'm sure I might not have to go to pigeons. I may have to go to bald eagle or something like that.
Well, the good news, you know what? You don't have to worry about anything because this isn't going to be implemented until 2005 and beyond. So you got a couple
2005.
Years.
2005?
Sorry, 2015.
I got 10 years.
Yeah, sorry, 2015.
All right.
Listen, I'm going to skip over the whole Daredevil relaunch
because
no one cares.
Yeah.
Okay, now, Walt.
Yo.
On one of those sites I frequent, and I'm talking about...
nothing to do with those
I mean like Newsarama or Bleeding Cool or one of those. I think it was Bleeding Cool. They had a top 10 list of the all-time worst Spider-Man villains.
Right.
And I want you to see if you can... I want you to see if you can name me any of them.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
What do I do?
We'll just, out of the top of your head... Think of a bad Spider-Man villain, and I'll let you know if he's on the top 10 or not.
Okay, a bad Spider-Man villain was Tarantula.
Oh, no, he doesn't even make... No, he's way off the list. He's
good?
He's a good villain,
Okay. A bad Spider-Man villain was Queen Bee.
Oh, that would... I agree. But even she's not on the list.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Okay, I'm running dry.
Okay. Think I'm gonna give you a hint for one of them. The one that you might know. Most of these are relatively new,
right?
But the one you might know is I'm gonna give you Australian outback. Oh. Think of what kind of animals are in Australia.
Oh right, kangaroo.
The kangaroo. He's like number four or five.
Where did he appear in?
Oh, that's a. You know what? I don't have that information here.
Now, do they have? Do they have? Do they have the Rocket Racer?
Rocket Racer is not. He should be on here, but he's not. He's not on here.
Yeah.
His name is Frank Oliver. And he was basically the Jane Goodall of kangaroos, and he apparently inherited the science of leaping and things like that.
Wow.
So, yeah, anyways.
Able to leap Spider-Man in a single bound.
Here's the write-up. As the story goes, Oliver spent so much time around kangaroos that he inherited the incredible leaping ability. How does that happen?
No,
that's like saying if I watch enough Batman movies, yeah. I'll eventually become Batman.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Yeah. That's like saying if I hung around like the discotheque, I'd learn how to dance.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
That's not happening.
No.
Yeah. All right. Tell me the worst characters of these things, and I'm going to tell you how many of them I recognize.
Okay. The looter.
Oh yeah, that's yeah. The looter.
Have you ever heard of the looter? Looter. Here we go. The looter, enemy of Spider-Man, threat to nobody. Apparently the looter found a meteor, which he decided to investigate, and hoping that it would be hold the mysteries of the universe.
Okay, looter, no good. All right.
Looter, no good.
Never had a dinner.
The spot.
The spot.
The spot.
The spot.
He's a guy that looks like he's like a Dalmatian, and he has the power to enter himself.
Nice.
You know what?
That's why that guy never leaves home on the weekends.
Fault. I've often called you the spot because of that.
All right.
The iguana.
The iguana.
Basically, he's like
he was in Tijuana.
Yeah, he's basically the lizard, right?
Yeah.
So it's a bad ripoff.
So the lizard was a real hit.
Yes.
Some brainchild at Marvel. Guys,
you know what?
Kids
love the lizard, yeah. So let's make the iguana.
And then we're going to do the salamander. And then the gecko.
And then. all right. Listen, then we got Swarm.
The swarm.
A swarm.
I am bored.
Basically, he can have a whole bunch of bees come attack you.
Yeah. Because that's bad.
That's devastating. Yeah. Bees.
You know what helps? You know how you can just dip yourself in honey.
Now
they won't touch you.
Neither will your wife.
I could go somewhere there, but I won't. Okay, let's go.
Okay, hold on. Now, here's the one. I can't believe there's actually a character called Sturgeon.
Yeah. Sturgeon. Oh, I remember Sturgeon. He was in Spidey 165 or 166 or something.
Okay.
Like yeah.
So, apparently he's a lizard spinoff.
Yes. Another lizard spinoff.
Yeah. So, he apparently has the ability to control dinosaurs.
Wow.
I'm not too sure how a sturgeon can do that, but...
Stegron?
Yes. Stegron. That's what I meant to say. Stegron, not sturgeon.
Wow, Chris.
Stegron.
I was really trying to work that bit that really had nothing to work with.
Stegron.
Yeah.
Stegron. It's even worse.
Let me backtrack now.
Okay.
No, I got nothing.
That's even worse. Stegron?
Stegron.
Controlling dinosaurs. It's even worse. It's terrible.
Wow.
Triceratops. Sticks and stone.
Sticks and stone.
They're calling it the Siegfried and Roy of crime.
Sticks and stone. Come sail away.
Okay, so hold on. So sticks and stone are yet another horror story rooted in medical experiments performed on the homeless. Gerald Stone was a scientist trying to cure cancer, and in doing so, accidentally turned a homeless man into living cancer.
Wow.
Which pretty much as far as the desired outcome as you want. It just goes awful from there.
Nice. All right, Chris. Wow.
Then we got two more here. I know we got 1 minute left. Gray Goblin.
Gray Goblin.
Yeah.
The green.
Because green was just was not enough, wasn't good right. enough.
It's not easy being green.
And then the last one is the big wheel.
Yeah.
big wheel.
It keeps on turning.
After hiring Rocket Racer to steal evidence that
Rocket Racer was in there. I knew it. All right, Chris. Listen.
Yeah. Awful character.
Yeah, listen. Unfortunately, it's all the time we have for this show. Chris, I totally forgot the ending. How's it go?
Listen to us
somewhere on
GetThePointRadio.com.
Go to GetThePointRadio.com. I want to thank our engineer, Young Buck, Andrew Rubach, and our ever-suffering producer, Shecky Feldstein.
Yes.
And if you don't do anything this week, if you're a lazy lump...
Wait for your drone to come and deliver your comics.
At least kind of get out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.